Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this afternoon, as is almost always the case, my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great. I have had a good show this morning and look forward to this one.
You glossed right over lunch.
Yeah, lunch was all right.
Yeah, you weren't that impressed. We ate downstairs, which is, you know, nice in a pinch.
It's not my favorite.
It's one of the benefits of having Class A space. You can get to lunch and get back. I don't know that I would classify lunch as Class A, but it got the job done. Now, this is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we are going to hear from a lady named Kim Hall, and I am really looking forward to that conversation. But first up, on High Velocity Radio this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from a little firm some of you may have heard of here locally, Frazier and Dieter. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast partner, CPA Terry E. Lawson. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Now,
thanks for having me.
Terry, can you share a little bit about Frazier and Dieter? What are you guys doing for folks?
Well, we are a full-service CPA firm. We offer, you know, all kinds of assurance, tax, process risk and governance, all kinds of services. We have a brother-sister firm, Signature FD, that does investment management. We have offices across the Southeast. We're in Nashville, Tampa, Alpharetta, Atlanta, which is the home office. And then we have a small fund accounting office in Philadelphia.
Now, we had a law firm on the other day, and their name was blank and blank, like yours. And they went to a branding company. Mm-hmm. And the branding company's suggestion, and they'd made the change, is instead of like Frazier and Dieter, they change it to Frazier Dieter.
Well, that's our website. It's FrazierDieter.com.
So if you want to save some branding money, you could just get rid of the ampersand. That was their net takeaway from that. So what's your favorite part of your job that you do?
I like the people that I work with, and I like the clients that I work for. I mean, being an accountant, it's all about the relationships.
Uh-huh.
So we, you know, spend all of our time building relationships for referrals, to maintain clients, to have good staff. So it's all about the people.
Now, Frazier and Dieter have been recognized recently as one of the top places for women as a CPA firm. Is that right?
Correct.
Now, what is the secret sauce behind that?
Again, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been with the firm for 29 years. It's my
really?
only grown-up
wow.
job. So
right from college, they recruited you?
Exactly.
Did you have lots of choices and you picked them?
Absolutely. I went to University of Georgia, and I'm really dating myself, but it was the Big Eight back then.
Uh-huh.
And all of the professors pushed the Big Eight. You know, you were a total loser if you didn't go Big Eight. And I interviewed with Frazier and Dieter, and just Jim Frazier and David Dieter were just awesome.
There really is a Frazier. There really is a Dieter.
And they are both still there and working.
How about that?
So I joined them, and back then it was, you know, pearls, pumps, and pantyhose. There weren't a lot of women. And
Was it like in that environment?
It was intimidating because I'm from a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family is a bunch of teachers. I'd never known an accountant. They talked about a lot of things that I had no idea what they were talking about. But, you know, it was just a really good place, and they, you know, established a really good culture. And then as I kind of progressed through my career and through my life, they were, you know, awesome to work with, very flexible, very family oriented. You know, one of the famous quotes from Jim Frazier is, you know, we're not brain surgeons. No one's going to die if, you know, their tax return's not done that day. But it was always a focus on family and a focus on client service.
And did they help you, like when you started, is your career, did it progress as you envisioned or?
It did. It really did. You know, I progressed fairly quickly and made manager after a few years. And then I had a little speed bump in the way. I actually gave birth to triplets 20 years ago.
Wow.
And we had never done anything with flex time. I mean, we had one lady who worked February through April, mm-hmm. but otherwise everyone was full time, 8 a.m., you know, be focused, be there,
right.
You know, no exceptions. And Jim Frazier came to me and he said, "You're such a valued member of this firm. If you want to do something less than full time, when you're here, we're happy to see you. And when you're gone, we'll miss you." And so they helped me tailor make my.
Wow.
But he was ahead of his time. I mean, you might expect that a little bit more now out of some of your more progressive employers, but that was really unusual for the time. Yeah.
It absolutely was. Because this was, you know, a long time before you worked from, before working from home and telecommuting ever came into play.
Were you working from home? Were you able to do that? Or you'd have to go to the office to do the work and then be home when you're in your home?
Well, everybody was always at the office or at a client.
Right.
I mean, this was the days of the 30-pound laptops, you know, and no such thing as portable printers and things like that. So you had the dial-up modems, you know, so the internet connections were exceptionally slow. So it was not something you
practical,
could do.
Right.
No, not on an ordinary course of business. So it really was a big cultural change for our firm, but it's one we embraced and have, you know, utilized with other people.
So partner in charge of tax, do you lead with that at the cocktail party or how?
No. I typically just say partner. Because usually if I say partner in charge of tax, people are either, I'm so sorry.
Like, are you being punished?
Exactly.
So when you reach partner level in a firm with the kind of reputation that a Fraser Dieter has, are you to some degree responsible for bringing in the business, or is that kind of segmented out and someone else handles that? How does that side of things work, getting the work?
We've always been a firm that was very entrepreneurial, so you are pretty much in charge of bringing in your own clients. It's not strictly an eat what you kill atmosphere. We do, you know, as we've grown, we've brought in business development people and then marketing. We do a lot of marketing, but it's always been clients want to work with the people they know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my best referral source is attorneys. So an attorney, if a client says, you know, I need a good CPA and they give my name, they want me. And so I bring in those clients and I hope to build those relationships.
So but, how do you find the attorneys to, like, how do you meet them?
You volunteer to speak at a lot of different things. You go to a lot of cocktail parties. You accept a lot of invitations and you just go and do and meet and follow up.
And so you have to do that kind of networking and marketing yourself and kind of positioning yourself as the expert, right?
Correct.
To be invited to speak. So you have something to speak about.
Correct.
And then you have to still do the work too of once you get the client.
exactly.
Wow.
So being partner of charge. Being the lead partner in the tax department, I'm still expected to have 1,200 charge hours and have my book of business and manage my clients.
But it makes
have the extra fun on top of it.
But from my perspective as a consumer of the services, it makes all the sense in the world to me, as opposed to just going out and trying to figure out how to engage a tax professional, business or personal. It makes sense that I'd trust my attorney. If my attorney had a good relationship with you and my attorney is saying, look, you really ought to talk to this lady, that's going to mean a lot more to me. That makes all the sense in the world to me.
So we meet with attorneys, we meet with investment managers, we meet with insurance people, we meet with, you know, and then the clients word of mouth too. We get a lot of referrals from our existing clients. But you go to trade shows, you talk in front of, you know, different groups and things like that. You go to Rotary Club, you go to Lions Club.
What are some of the topics you talk about?
I just did a presentation on grantor retained annuity trust for a group called the Exit Planning Institute.
So, because when you're saying tax, it's tax planning, estate planning,
exactly.
Like that all falls under it, right?
So we do a lot of, we do a lot of compliance work. We do I think this year we're going to do 7,800 tax returns.
Wow.
And that includes, you know, all different kinds, but we do lots of planning. You know, I see my clients year after year after year, and you may see your attorney once every 5 years.
Right.
I mean, they call me for things like, should I lease or buy a car? Can you help me with my kid's FAFSA form? You know, I've got a mortgage. What do I need to think about? You know, how much of my income could I?
Because you mentioned it earlier, it's relationships.
Exactly.
So they look at you as kind of the, like a partner in their life planning,
that's the
right?
Hope.
Right. So
exactly.
It's not, do you schedule like, okay, we meet annually or we meet quarterly, or you have different rhythms for different clients?
Different rhythms for different clients. I mean, there are some clients that you are talking to every month. There are some clients you talk to quarterly when you're looking at their estimated payments. And there's some clients that you work with once a year, you do their return and then they say thank you and they
and
come back the next year.
Right. With a box full of their receipts.
And over the lifetime, exactly. And over the lifetime of the client, you know, sometimes it's a very simple come in, get out.
Right. Because they might have a W-2 or something, and it's just a simple process. But sometimes then they start buying second homes, or then they open a business, or their kid, you know, like you said, is in college. So now they have different needs as their kind of household changes.
Or they sell their business, or they have a parent pass away.
Right. What about divorce? Are you involved in any of that? Because that could be messy.
I am. We have a partner, Beth Garrett, that's what she does exclusively. Mm-hmm. But I do work with clients going through divorce. My primary focus in my practice is individuals, estate planning, and I'd help people in transition.
Right. So whenever there's like a life event, so that's obviously qualifies. So is there any kind of tips or something you would recommend for somebody going through a divorce? Is there some things you can do to make it easier?
Try to keep it civil as much as possible. And the assets are only the assets.
So when it gets kind of emotional and they kind of don't look at the assets as assets, that's when it gets hairier?
Well, there's a finite amount. I mean, you only have so much. And if right. you fight about it, the only people that are benefiting are the attorneys and the accountants
right.
that are, you know, charging time to your case. And it just seems like people get wrapped up in things, but you can't take one household and the lifestyle you're living and expect to split it into two equal.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be some diminishment of the lifestyle, and that's hard for people to grasp sometimes.
Do you see patterns, particularly maybe among different groups of folks, like say entrepreneurs or small business owners that, oh, here we go again. You know, this guy, this lady's a partner in a little firm or in a business radio network, for example. And yep, just as I predicted, this guy has, you know, not done this, 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 and this. Do you see some of the same kind of mistakes or omissions over and over?
Well, entrepreneurs are always about the big picture. So yeah. sometimes, it's, you know, we have to work with them to help get their systems in place.
Right.
And then, you know, as companies grow and as businesses grow, sometimes the growth outpaces their structure. And mm-hmm. so sometimes that's an area that we can help them with. We do see if someone comes into wealth very quickly, that sometimes they're not equipped to deal with it. It's like the lottery winner that goes bankrupt after winning $300 million.
Yeah. That happens a lot?
It does.
Like more than you would think?
It does. But there's all different kind of cycles. But the entrepreneurs are always much more big picture. And so they rely on their advisors to
right.
handle.
So you help, like if that was the case, an entrepreneur, you can kind of coach them through some systems they can put in place.
Exactly.
That will make it a little easier for them to deal with the details, which are important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you help that in that area?
We do, or we try.
Like
sometimes
what are
they listen,
like,
sometimes they don't.
Like, would that be like, you know, get like a QuickBooks or some sort of accounting
exactly.
system or a bookkeeper? Maybe it's better to have a bookkeeper than you just try
exactly.
to remember stuff.
Yeah. You know, and one of the first things we'll try to do is say, you know, use a payroll service. Take payroll off of your worry list.
Right.
There are companies that, you know, specialize in that, and the cost is not going to be that great. But the cost of messing it up can be astronomical.
That can be huge, right?
Because it's not an expensive
service.
Right. And it's silly to make that kind of mistake.
So
right.
That's usually one thing. But probably the biggest mistake I see with people is, it's amazing the number of people that don't have a will.
Oh, really?
And that's a little scary, because even if you don't have one, you really do. The state of Georgia has one for you.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that was like, what's that singer, Prince, right? Like, he
right.
didn't have a will, and he's like a gazillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, all these cousins are coming out of the woodwork.
Exactly.
So that happens, again, more times than people would think.
It does. And it can have some really, you know, unintended results.
So, like, what's an example? Like, here in Georgia, if a family didn't have a will, is there some things that happen if the parent dies or both parents tragically die, then it won't necessarily go to the kid?
Well, it's going to go to the heirs.
Right.
But say you've got a second wife and you've got kids from the first marriage.
Oh, wow.
The husband yeah. owns the house. Then now the wife might have half, and then the kids have half. And they may not get along. So they may try to, you know, make her leave or try
right.
to buy her out. Or if she wants to buy them out, you know, they may be difficult to deal with.
So especially if you have a blended family, that's probably even more important.
Exactly.
Well, and here again, I suspect you're just as quick to make this thing go in the other direction. We were talking earlier about a good trusted referral sources for you are attorneys and some of these other professional service providers. But if you're my tax person and I'm coming to you for estate planning and that kind of thing, then you're probably just as quick to say, oh yeah, well we need to get you working with Bob or whatever.
Exactly.
You can be someone of your caliber with the resources you have at your disposal and having been in practice so long, you can be my quarterback, I would think, for a lot of those services. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, because I know I deal with a lot of different attorneys. So if you need a very simple will, I can direct you one way. And if you have complex international property or something right. like that, then I could direct you to somebody that's better equipped. But I get calls like that all the time. Can you recommend an attorney? Can you recommend someone for life insurance? Can you recommend an investment advisor? So, yes, we repay those referrals in kind.
Now, is it ever a good idea to go to like Office Depot and get one of those off the rack wills? Or is it always better to see a professional?
If you have a checking account and a car, and that's the only assets you have, then the Office Depot one is fine.
Anything,
but if you own real property or anything else, no, you really should.
Now, you mentioned payroll services. Do you work with specific ones, or does your firm handle that internally?
No,
we outsource that?
We refer that out. So, I mean, we work with several around town.
Do you have a favorite, or do you kind of split them up evenly?
If it's somebody that's got, you know, more than just 5 or 6 employees, you know, ADP is good, but we use Paychecks, we use IOI, we use a bunch of different ones. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on, you know, what the client needs.
Now, what would be some of the, how would you help a client pick the right one? Is it the size, the number of employees, or the complexity?
It's going to be the number of employees. Are they across different states? Mm-hmm. Are they offering health insurance? Because the Health Care Act that we right. had a couple of years ago has added a lot of complexity to that.
Right.
But are they going to have, you know, subcontractors and things like that, hourly employees that they're going to do 1099s? It's a lot of different things.
But a payroll service you think is kind of a must have if you have.
Absolutely.
Right. That's something you would recommend.
Absolutely.
So what's your favorite part of the job? I mean, I can tell that you enjoy your craft.
I do.
What's your favorite part?
Well, I'm such a tax nerd. And I hate when someone loses a loved one, but I like estate tax. Because the estate tax return that we file when someone passes is like an inventory of their life, mm-hmm. you know, on the day they die. And you get to learn so much. I mean, even clients that I've worked with for 20 years, when they pass, I learn something new. And every family is different. I mean, people are endlessly fascinating.
What's something surprising you learned?
I had one doctor who passed away. I never knew he had almost a $4,000 bottles of wine collection.
Wow.
His whole basement in his house was a wine cellar.
Wow.
And so I had to figure out, how do we value this?
Right.
And what can you do with it? Because at that time you couldn't resell wine in the state of Georgia.
Right.
So we ended up using one of the auction houses in New York. I had another client that had a large coin collection, and we had to figure out, how do you value that? He had like silver bars and gold Krugerrands and things like that. And it's just,
these are their private hobbies.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they amass some wealth and these things can become large.
Mm-hmm. I had one client that had one of the Chinese terracotta warriors that he had bought years and years ago.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it's really
So you help them with like choosing the auction house or the best way to...
Well, we look at how we value it and how they're going to dispose of it, you know, who's going to get it. And it's always interesting because if they've got 3 or 4 kids, you know, which child do they designate as the executor and who's going to get what and how did the family dynamics all work? So it's really always very interesting.
Do you ever work with family-owned businesses?
I do.
Because that probably has their own unique challenges on some kids are part of the business, some kids
some
aren't.
Are not.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that probably, you need a therapy degree for that,
sometimes.
Right?
Sometimes we're the accountant, counselor, and confessor at the all-in-one. But we've seen some interesting family situations.
And that's part of the value that you would provide your clients, I would think, is because you can share some of the best practices, or we had a family in this same situation, this is how they dealt with. At least you have some kind of a starting point.
Exactly. And we deal with a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of clients want to use trust to kind of protect If you've got a child that's kind of in a rocky marriage and you don't want to put a lot of wealth in one kid's name.
Right.
Or we see a lot of clients now with kids with special needs.
Right.
And so that's a big area of planning as well. Or substance abuse problems. You know, some people are their own worst enemies, and so you're trying to protect them.
Right. We recently had on somebody that's with an association that serves disabled kids. And then he said that that's one of the things that people don't think about is like when that kid becomes an adult, like who's taking care of that kid?
Exactly.
You know, when they're 20, 30, 40 years old, you have to provide for that. And then, you know, if you don't, if it's not your own family, you don't think about it anymore, but that family has to deal with that.
I've got, you know, clients that have children with Down syndrome, and they, you know, I have one client, you know, she's getting in her mid 70s and she has a Down syndrome child who is in his late 30s.
Right. So they're worried sick, right? Mm-hmm.
So she's very concerned. And I myself, my daughter is visually impaired. And so I, you know, wonder about, you know, who's going to be there to drive her and,
right.
and help her with transportation and things like that as she gets older and we're not there.
Right. And you have to start thinking about that now so that things are in place.
Absolutely.
Now, I see that you were recognized for equity leadership. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, we are partnerships.
So what does equity leadership mean?
Well, equity leadership is, you know, I'm not sure how to term this. I mean, we're involved with this group called Project Move, you know, and it's about, you know, having more and more women involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very fortunate because we've always been kind of a leader in that area. Like if you look at our partner group, more than one third, like 34% of our partners are women.
And that was a big shift because you said when you started, it wasn't that wasn't the case.
No, it was I had been with the firm for several years before we had our first woman partner.
Mm-hmm.
But as that has changed, you know, 50% of all the accounting graduates are women. So it's good that we're able to move those women up through the ranks.
Right.
And retain them.
And then so you mentioned that your firm is one of the top firms for women. If you're a woman and you're thinking about getting into accounting, what are like some suggestions you would have, like they're in college, how to choose the right firm that's a match? Like what are some of the things that a person should look for, especially a woman in a firm, to show that maybe this one is going to watch my back a little bit?
Well, I mean, you always go through these office visits and you go through interviewing and things like that. You just want to ask the questions, you know, how's the culture? You know, how's the work-life balance? You know, which we all hate that kind of tagline. Mm-hmm. But you want to get to know some of the people that you would be working with and then, you know, ask those questions of managers and partners that you come across. And, you know, luckily for our firm, we have great examples of how that family and work balance goes. We had somebody join our firm not too long ago from a larger national firm. And when they saw our charge hour goals for the year for our associates and managers, they said, you know, that's like 400 hours less than what the national firms are saying. So we put an emphasis on having that work-life balance and having that life outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And accounting's great because it's very flexible. I mean, we're very deadline-driven, you know.
Well, there's a certain predictable rhythm, right?
There is. But I had one of my sons played high school football. I never missed a game. I was able to leave and go and help feed the team before every home game.
Right.
You know, I never had to miss field trips or recitals or things like that because we have such flexibility and now we can work remotely a lot. You don't necessarily have to be sitting in front of the client
right.
all the time. So it's really a good career for women. I mean, because we can emphasize our family.
Are there any associations that you're a member of?
I just rotated off the board for the Atlanta Estate Planning Council, but I've been involved with that group for a long time. I'm involved with a group called Georgia Blind Sports Association. Mm-hmm. I also serve on the board at the Center for the Visually Impaired. I mean, obviously that's
right.
something close to my heart. But I've been involved with the Georgia Society of CPAs. I used to serve on a committee with the AICPA, which is the American Institute of CPAs. I've just been involved with a lot of different stuff within our, you know, both our profession and our community.
And the reason for that, is it for education? Is it for networking? Is it for giving back to the community? What are some of the reasons you get you? Because like it's one thing, a lot of people join things and they're like, I paid the dues and mm-hmm. I'm a member. But it sounds like you're kind of get yourself really into them.
Well, the AICPA, I mean, we're all members of, you know, by being a CPA
right.
kind of thing. But for 6 years, I served on a technical resource panel because I had a real interest on, you know, how do we, you know, communicate with Congress on what's important and make some vital changes to some of the tax laws. It's a very slow and discouraging process at times, but it was something that I really enjoyed. And I met some really, really smart people that are way, you know, above my head. The Georgia Society is just one where, you know, you can meet a lot of people. But again, I served on a lot of committees trying to do some things with that. And then I did some teaching with them as well. I like, you know, having that interaction with younger CPAs.
And that's a good tip for the younger CPAs, right? To get involved and not just sign up, but to really, you know, join Absolutely. Things, volunteer, take leadership positions.
Absolutely. And then the Atlanta Estate Planning Council is great for networking. I mean, it's a who's who of the estate planning attorneys, investment managers, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm involved with the Terry College Alumni Board at UGA and in UGA alumni, and we do recruiting there. And it's just a way to give back to my university. And then the Center for the Visually Impaired is just something I had a real passion for in right. Georgia Blind Sports because of all the benefits I saw my daughter receive from them.
And if somebody wants to learn more about Fraser and Dieter, the website?
It's FraserDieter.com.
And then they can search for you and you can be found in there, right?
Yes. I'm under the L's for Lawson, but I'm always happy to talk to somebody about my firm. I mean, like I said, I've been there so long. I'm so passionate about it. I think it's been a great place for me personally in my career. And I think it's a great place for young accountants. We do a lot of recruiting. We've added a lot. It was 20 people when I got there, and now we're over 300.
And at the end of every school year is a big recruiting push, or you start recruiting?
We start in the fall.
In the fall.
And then we also do like a summer leadership program for juniors to try to get them in and woo them.
An intern is there intern opportunities?
We do. We have a really robust internship program. We have currently 8 interns in the tax department, I think 15 in the audit department.
Cool.
Well, you know, I have a well-established record on the record being pro-female in the workplace. I think women are smarter, they're more collaborative, they're better with money. I think they're more comfortable in their own skin. I would rather work with a woman in virtually any situation. So I'm delighted to see the progress. I'm married to a very strong, competent woman. I've raised 2 almost. And so I'll go on record again saying I just really like women. And I mean that in every possible good respect. So keep up the good work. But I got to say, if you're a young woman or man for that matter, but certainly if you're a young woman coming up through the ranks, even if it's in some other discipline, you need to seek out the Terry Lawsons of the world that are committed to trying to help people. You seem to really enjoy the whole mentor. You like that role, don't you?
I do. And, you know, we talk about having your own personal board of directors to people, you know, have someone that you can get advice from and bounce ideas off of. You know, I joined this group this year that's about 30 women, and we meet every, you know, every 2 months. And, you know, we share ideas and we do things and we get together. And it's just a really good way, you know, not only to network, but then to have that kind of personal board of directors.
Is that a private group?
It's a private group.
You're not invited.
No, you loosely formed 30 women, said, hey, let's all do this.
It was done by a law firm. And I got it, luckily was, you know, lucky enough to get invited. But we've done something. We joined this group, and it's called Launchpad. Uh-huh. And it's a program that we've had for about 6 years.
Is that a Fraser Dieter thing?
We're a partner with it. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, we sponsor like a 3-day educational program for women entrepreneurs and business owners. And so that's something that, you know, women can apply for.
Wow.
And then
maybe you can come back and we can do a segment on that. I'd love to learn more about that.
It's a really good program. And we've done a lot with our women's initiatives too. We do, mm-hmm. you know, panel events where we have, you know, somebody, a CEO of Delta and the prior CEO of Spanx and, you know, some other people.
And get it from the horse's mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. And then women can ask questions and things. So, but yeah, I do enjoy that part of it.
I like the idea about the segment. That's a very sincere idea. I think we ought to talk, you know, later today off the air or whatever about putting that together. Well, keep up the good work. It has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this afternoon.
I really appreciate y'all letting me come.
Yeah. Can you hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we have with us, with totally running and walking, Miss Kim Hall. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Did you learn a thing or two in that last segment? Pretty inspiring, huh?
Yeah, no, it was great because I'm an entrepreneur and all I see is the big picture. So I definitely...
You need a CPA? That. I know somebody.
Yeah. And also I learned that we have something in common. Terry, you have triplets. So do I.
No way.
Yes.
What are the odds?
Unbelievable.
Yes. I've never met anybody else that had triplets.
I'm like so excited because yours are like 20. I can't imagine back then having triplets.
What are the odds of that?
That's really strange.
I thought you guys like planned it that way.
Yes, it's the triplet special.
That is too funny.
I can't even calculate the odds of that.
That is, mine are 8 years old. Wow. Yeah.
I need the CPA to calculate the odds of that.
I know. That's so cool because there aren't not many of us.
Wow.
Not at all. No.
That's hilarious. So you have any tips for her while we got you here?
I mean, seriously, because you could probably tell me a lot. Do you have two...
Two boys and a girl.
Okay, I have two girls and a boy.
The inverse, cool.
Yeah.
So anything, you want to share any tips? What does she have to look forward
to? Yeah.
What does puberty is it like?
You know the question, is it get easier?
It gets easier in some ways, and it gets a lot harder in some ways.
That is always the answer. It just changes.
It does, but it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I could do a whole show just on that. But let's talk about totally running and totally walking. Is it totally running or walking?
Totally walking, totally exercising, totally come in.
All right.
Shop with us. Yeah.
So how'd you get into this line of work?
So I had the triplets. I was in neuroscience so I always worked in the hospital and did research on that. And then I ended up pregnant with triplets and I left work. And I, suffered from postpartum depression. And so from that, I went into a running store and got fitted for some shoes and decided to start running. And that's when I, found the benefit of it. So from there, I ended up just kind of hooking up with a local running store. And then I started... also volunteering at a foster care support network. And I wanted to do a race to raise money for shoes for the foster kids.
Right.
And so I wanted to get people to donate their running shoes to the foster kids. But the foster care support network said that they have to purchase shoes for kids. And so they asked me if I would be interested in being on a 5K planning committee. And I said, yeah, let's do that. Well, I ended up pretty much planning the 5K myself with the help of a committee. But they're, were busy in other, things. And so I just kind of took it on and it ended up being very successful. And so from there, I started doing other races. And then I started a race company. And about a year later, I ended up with a running store. I purchased.
So you just started getting into it. It just kind of one thing led to another.
Yeah, it became my passion, and I love running. I love exercise. I love helping people just get healthy and live a healthy lifestyle. And so, in North Georgia is where our store is. It's in Forsyth County, and Incoming, and we, have really cultivated a great running and walking community up there with our events and with our store. And we have group runs and we do all sorts of cooking classes and just informational classes. We bring podiatrists in. We bring, chiropractors in. We bring yoga people in. I mean, all sorts of things we do at the store just to kind of cultivate a community of wellness.
Right. So it goes beyond the stuff you sell now, right?
Absolutely. It is a lifestyle.
Right. And then how have you seen the change over the years?
So the change has been, we are a very service-oriented store. And so, a lot of doctors will tell their patients to come in and get fitted for shoes because they need to do something about their health. And so they come in and, we do a very one-on-one personalized service where we measure people's feet. We have a machine that scans their feet, and so we can see the length, the width, and the arch type. And then we can also put them on a treadmill and see how stable they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a more one-on-one service to get fitted because a lot of people we find who have been sedentary for so long, they go out and they'll go to like a sporting goods store or a discount store and they'll buy a pair of shoes and it's possibly the wrong size and they get out to try to walk and they're in pain.
Right.
And you don't have to be in that much pain. I mean, you got to start where you are. And so, you know, you can do some things, you know, get some help with that to be fitted properly and then get out. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be more comfortable to walk and you can actually get a little healthier.
Now, so, do you find that that a lot of people who are the least educated make the biggest mistakes in this? And they do kind of, they try to do it on their own, maybe, or they're embarrassed by, they don't know how to ask the basic right. questions. So they think like, oh, I'll go online, or I read a blog and it
Absolutely.
Says to buy this, and they buy the wrong thing. Then they get hurt like in a week and
yeah,
then
they
quit.
They sit, yeah. Well, and that's what we found. So when I got the store totally running, it was totally running. And so I added walking to the sign. I put and walking.
Right.
Because so many people were intimidated to come in the store.
Right, because they think runners,
yeah,
oh, they know what they're
think
doing.
Runners. And so right. we cater to, we like most of our clients or customers or whatever you want to call or them are newbies, are families.
Right, like the first time person.
Yeah, the first
right?
time person. And so I tell my staff, you know, everybody who walks in the door, I don't care what shape, size, age, anything, you treat them the same, you know, with dignity and respect. And they need to leave our store inspired
right.
to get out. Because, you know, yeah, I didn't start, like when I started running, I was a mess. You know, after having those triplets, I was a mess. And so, I mean, I didn't even know what a 5K was, like how right. many miles it was. And so even our events that we put on our races, we do 4 major road races a year. Mm-hmm. They're for runners and walkers and families. And so they're not like super, you know, elite kind of thing. It's more of a fun family event.
Right. And don't you find that the people who are sedentary and they're just getting into it, they think everybody's like an expert, when in reality,
right.
even the experts, they
yeah, we don't know anything.
Anything.
You're right. You know? Nobody knows anything.
Right. Well, people know less than you think.
Right. Like, you know what's so funny to me is like most people don't have the right shoe size. They don't know what shoe size
right.
they are.
Huh. Or that they think they know, but then you measure them and they're like, really?
Yeah, yeah. They like, I mean, 8 out of 10 people that come in the store for the first time, and they put them on the digital scanner. They're like, uh-uh, that is not my shoe size. I wear a size 7. I'm like, well, it says size 9. I mean,
and then,
no wonder your feet hurt. Like, you've
and
got,
different brands have different sizes.
Right. And so you know, our staff is very educated on the shapes and sizes of the shoes. And so what we do is, you know, if you go into a sporting goods store and you look at the wall, you're like, oh my God, there's so many choices, right? And
right.
So you usually go by color
right.
and just by aesthetics. Well, it might not necessarily be the right one for you. So what we do is we'll put them up and kind of look at their foot shape and everything and then see how they walk and bring out a stack, like narrow down the wall for them. So then they can, you know, put on a shoe that actually fits and feels good. It's amazing. I mean, we have so many customers that come back in and just are like, thank you so much. My gosh, because my toes went numb like when I was walking
and they think that's normal, right?
Yeah.
And they think, well, your toes are supposed
to
go numb after 20 minutes of a walk. Right.
It's supposed to be uncomfortable to exercise. No, it's not. It's not. You are not supposed to be uncomfortable. You may be at first, I mean, you know, like sore, like that's okay. But, you know, you shouldn't be so uncomfortable that you like can't walk. So
now, do you have any tips like a first time runner? Like, what would you recommend somebody who says, you know what, I'm going to get into this now?
Yeah, sure. I really just take it slow and start where you are. Do never look at what other people are doing. I mean, that can really get, you know, you in trouble. Like if your neighbor is like ultra marathon runner,
right.
I mean, that could really like discourage you. So just start where you are and, you know, just know that I take it one run at a time. You know, that's what I always say, because I'm training right now for the Chicago Marathon. And, you know, some days I'll go out there and I'm like, it's like, oh, this is the best run ever. And I feel really good. And I feel real confident that I could actually run this marathon. And then the next time I'll go run, and it's just like the hardest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the worst run ever. And so you just can't do that. You have to take it one run at a time and you have to take it one thing at a time and start slow. I really recommend Couch to 5K. apps to a lot of customers. That is a great way
where
to get
started.
Where
it's like a walk, run. It's like it's not all run.
Right. And there's more than one speed. I mean, you know, especially the guys, they go out, they just think there's one speed. They like
Well, no, in
sprint.
High school, they ran like a 6-minute mile. Right. So now they're going to do that again.
And they're so discouraged because they can't. And they like, but they want to like leave their door and just like sprint. And then they can get like only so far doing that. I mean, there's more than one
speed. To the stop sign at my house.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, like, you know, it's, it is, when you first start running, I mean, you've got your lungs hurt. I mean, your leg, everything is just, it's really hard. So the walk run thing is really a great way to start.
What about heart rate monitors? How do you feel about them?
I mean, I like them. I never used one, but then I started working out at Orange Theory Fitness, which kind of like hooks you up.
Right.
And put you on a treadmill and makes you like do all these different paces. And it was kind of cool to see that my heart wasn't going to explode like if I went faster, you know, because I always, because you get nervous. Like you really think, like, I am going to like die. Like I'm out here running and, and this is killing me. But so that's kind of cool about heart rate monitors because you can kind of see that you're, you might feel taxed, but you're not actually.
Right. The thing I like about heart rate monitors is that you realize, you see that I don't have to work that hard and still get benefit.
Absolutely.
And in your head, sometimes you think I got to be at a certain pace and you really don't in order
walking,
to get.
I just think, you know, walking even is a great, you know, sport. You can still reap a lot of benefits from that. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people like we see a lot of at our store, a lot of older people, you know, in their 70s, and they like to do like the little burst, sprint burst in their walks. And I think it's really cool. So they, you know, and there's, that's all you need. It's like, you're out there, you're doing something. If you feel like you want to sprint, cool,
go
do
for
it, you know, but you don't have to continue to sprint. I mean,
what about the devices like Fitbits and things like that?
Yeah. So the Fitbit has been a really great addition for anybody who's trying to get into health and wellness, because I mean, that thing will do so many things. I personally don't have one, but I know I have customers that'll come in and they'll, I guess it shakes like when you need to get up and start moving. And like I'll have people like get up and be like, I gotta move. This thing's telling me to move. I'm like, oh God.
Well, I have a Fitbit endorsement and it's completely family social oriented. My mom has a Fitbit. My kids have Fitbits and it has become a kind of a central point of conversation for them. And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons for them to connect with each other. Mm-hmm. They've even done this challenge thing. Of course, mom did say that hers wasn't charged one day, so she couldn't get out and start doing steps, but she wanted them to count. But no, it's had that effect on my family, which is just a very positive social thing. I want to hear a little bit more about your philosophy, your mindset, your approach to business. You mentioned earlier in the conversation about how you really work with your staff to treat customers with respect and dignity. Can you speak more to just your mindset, your philosophy on approaching business?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a small business owner, it is really service and just relationships are really important to me and just honesty, you know, and integrity and a willingness to listen and learn from our customers. And so my philosophy has just always been just that. It's like, we are not a real salesy, is that a word? Sales-oriented people. Like, I'm not going to, we don't do like commissions or anything when we sell things. We just genuinely, like everybody I hire has to be compassionate, you know, and they have to be able to, because we get a lot of customers who are in a lot of pain and hurt.
Right.
A lot of, you know, like I swear plantar fasciitis is an epidemic.
Really?
I'm like gluten allergies. It's like weird. I don't know. I mean, like so many people that come in the store have it and they're just miserable. They're miserable. And so we need to, you know, be compassionate about that. And we need to be honest about it. You know, we know some tricks that work. I mean, we get educated by podiatrists and orthopedic doctors. Like we make sure like the staff is really knowledgeable and all that. Because, you know, we're here to help. There's some things that you can do. There are a lot of things you can do actually to make that go away and get better. And so I think that's, if anything, is my, you know, and just to choose your attitude. I mean, to make sure, like every morning I'm like, you know, today we can either have a great day or a terrible day. It's my choice, right? And so the staff that I have is like that too. They're really encouraging and inspiring, and they're all different fitness levels themselves. I mean, we have some really awesome runners and we have, you know, a couple that are walkers, and that's okay. you know, because we're all different.
Now, since you've had the store for a while, have you seen somebody had some big transformations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen a lot. One girl that comes to mind, she was morbidly obese, you know, and she had come in and she was told, you know, you're going to die. Like, unless you go do something. And so she came in and got fitted. And she, you know, she walks marathons now. She is amazing. You know, in fact, I just saw on her Facebook, she's in Germany walking around. And she comes in all the time talking about, you know, just thanking us for mm-hmm. for the inspiration, for not judging her when she came in. And so she's like, you know, kept up. I love when they come back in and tell me about their journey. That's my favorite thing. I love it so much.
It must be so rewarding to go from this, you know, you got into it kind of accidentally, like yeah. you didn't dream of one day opening a running store. And now it kind of just naturally progressed. And then not only are you successful in that, but then you're impacting these people's lives in ways that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, I never imagined that this would be my life today. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely perfect for me. I've always had a desire to help people.
Right.
And I've always believed in the benefits of, you know, a healthy mind. And you know, it all goes together with our, you know, mental health too.
Sure.
And so it's just, it's a blessing, really.
Now you have the store. Are there charities that you support as well?
Absolutely.
Through running in your store?
Well, we do running events. So we have 4 running races a year. In mm-hmm. fact, we have one coming up called We the Runners on July 4th. It's an alternate to the Peachtree, obviously. So we found up in our area, some people like to kind of, you know, not be intimidated by the big, huge crowds
right.
and come out. And so that race, all our races benefit a charity. So this particular race benefits a charity called Kids Boost, which is a really cool grassroots charity. I love it. What they do is they connect kids who want to raise money for a charity of their choice. They connect them with a coach. And so they give the kid $100 and a coach, and they go out and they do like a bake sale or a climbing event. We actually have a set of triplets who is going to be putting together a 5K to raise money for Kate's Club, because their father had passed away. He had gotten hit by a car. So they had gone through Kate's Club, which does, you know, helps grieving kids of, you know, who've lost a loved one. And so I'm working with them to help them with their 5K. That's on September 11th in Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have like Labor Day Run for Autism, which is on Labor Day, but it benefits Talk About Curing Autism, which is a great organization. It's a nationwide organization. And then we also have the Tryptophan Half Marathon, which is on Thanksgiving Day. And that benefits Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So that's a big event for us. And then we also have the Cupcake Road Race, which is going to be benefiting the Shepherd Spinal Center. The Marines are actually going to come out. They have like a little division, and you're going to be able to buy like or purchase like to rent a rucksack to wear this mm-hmm. year. You're running for cupcakes and with a rucksack on. Or is it called a rucksack?
Yeah,
whatever that little thing is, you know, like it's 70 pounds or something.
Right.
But anyway, there's a bunch of Marines that are heading that up. So that'll be a really fun event. And that's usually in February.
You and Terry can start a triplets race.
Yes, we need to.
There you go.
We're like,
well, one of, you know, what's funny is like our photographer who you know, we offer free photography at our mm-hmm. races, and he has triplets as well. Isn't that weird? I can hook you up with some triplets. But it's funny because that was the same thing. I didn't know he had triplets either until after we started working together.
Right.
So
if somebody wanted to learn more, website for you guys?
We are at totallyrunning.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
You're welcome.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Paint. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.